Welcome back in, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Now, we got a very exciting fight event coming to Miami. You guys know we like coming out to the fight events. And Misfits Boxing is going to be at the James L. Knight Center on August 10th. And Influencer Boxing has gone crazy. It's blown up. And the big matchup coming up is Face Temper against Josh Bruckner. We got Josh's trainer here, BJ Flores, longtime boxing contender. The guy is boots on the ground at basically every event down here and is at a big hand in a lot of this influencer boxing. BJ, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And we're looking forward to coming to Miami. It's going to be a great show. We got a great card top to bottom. There's been a lot of work into this card and matching this card well. And it's going to be exciting for the fans.
Can you tell me, BJ, like, as a guy who, you know, was a legitimate boxer, you've kind of put your arms around the influencer boxing world where a lot of people scoff at it. A lot of people are haters. Why don't you go that route? Like, what made you interested in this?
Jake Paul, you know, that was the reason. I got called in to start working with Jake in 2019 as a sparring partner. Me and Jake had a great relationship. I went on to be one of his assistant coaches for the first fight and his head trainer for the next, you know, almost 4 years, and just fell in love with it. Fell in love with the kid, his work ethic, his desire, his resolve, just everything about him. I mean, he just worked so hard, and trust me, he had to make a lot of adjustments, but I really enjoyed being part of that whole process where he was, you know, making changes that ultimately affected the rest of his life and how his path would go this way or this way. And he made those changes, and it's addictive. You know, it's fun to get, you know, young men in that, you know, 22 to 27 year age range, and even younger, where they're, you know, having a tough time making decisions and putting them on the right path and showing them a way. It's been really fun.
So, like, when you went from that and so many highly publicized fights, Misfits Boxing has blown up and has had a lot of great fun cards. How did you partner up with them?
Well, Mams Taylor gave me a call maybe about a year and a half ago. Me and Mams have a great relationship. We talk quite a bit. And he had asked me if I'd be involved in something called the Small Council, or help make decisions on ratings, on who should fight who, you know, just to get another boxing mind in there. Somebody's been in there for a long time. And I accepted, and me and Mams became good friends. And I saw the contracts with DAZN, and I saw, you know, these kids coming to these tournaments, maybe not as well prepared as they should have, and they didn't know any better. And it kind of helped me to get involved in the Misfit scene to make sure anybody that I work with, my guys that I work with, Tristan Ham, Josh Bruckner, Kyle Godfrey, DK Money, any of those kind of guys that I bring into the tournament, they're going to be prepared and raise the level up a little bit. So that's kind of how I got involved with Misfits.
So how do you find it an important thing? Because, you know, you obviously take the training of these guys very seriously, and, you know, Jake's raved about working with you before. How selective are you with the guys that you actually want to work with and not are just doing it to get views, to get clicks that will actually, you know, not embarrass, I guess, the sport?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, any of the guys that work with me, if you ask them, you know, our training camps aren't about views and clicks. It's about, you know, following a process, following a routine, being on a schedule, teaching these guys how to be successful at anything they set their mind to. And it has nothing to do with the clicks. I mean, that's pretty much all just on fight night. We let Misfits and the social media teams handle whatever they're doing, and we just post like footage of training. We don't do any pranks. We don't do anything like that. So we try to keep it professional, promote the fight at the same time. But yeah, my job is definitely not. I really couldn't care less about any of that stuff. My social media following is about the same as it was 2 years ago, and I'm living just fine. And that's all I really care about, is getting these guys ready for these fights and making sure they're well represented.
So how has prep been for Josh in the lead up to this main event against FaZe Temper, and what are the things that you've been working on to sharpen him up for this main event?
Well, Josh has been off for about a year and a half, almost 18 months. And, you know, inactivity is never good for a beginning fighter. But look, like, he didn't have any direction at all. He didn't know. He didn't have, I mean, with all due respect to his team before, he didn't have a routine. He didn't have, you know, a schedule. He didn't have regular sparring days. He didn't have film review. He didn't have strength and conditioning. He didn't have, you know, technique days where we worked on fundamentals. A lot of things that, you know, I have in place with all my guys, he didn't have any of those things. And we kind of just hit the clear button when I started working with him. And we said, look, anything that happened before, any good experiences, remember those. Any experiences that weren't good, just flush those right out the window, because we're hitting the reset button. And working with Josh has been incredible. He's a very hardworking young man. He's a family man, but he's a hardworking. He's ready to make some noise, and he's going to do really well. This tournament, he's going to surprise a lot of people, and we're looking forward to fighting Tommy on August 10th.
What was your reaction this past week to Jake Paul's win? I watched every one of his fights. I was there for his pro debut in Miami. That was about as bad a beatdown I've ever seen him put on anybody, just from start to finish. What's been your impressions of him and all the growth that he's had?
I mean, if you look at what everybody was saying before the fight compared to what everybody is saying after the fight, let's be fair. Everybody in the MMA world, in the UFC world, everybody in that circuit all thought Mike was going to give Jake the toughest test and get to him and knock him out. And, you know, like I always said, this is going to be a boxing lesson until Jake knocks him out. And that's exactly what it was, you know. Full credit and full respect to Mike for taking a lot of punishment, for showing up in shape, for doing the best he could. But Jake's on another level, I'm telling you. Not only is he big and strong, but his boxing IQ is extremely high. And that comes from years and years and years of all of us watching film together after every sparring session, him watching fights, him really analyzing and breaking down what's happening and why it's happening. And that's one thing that's very underestimated about Jake is his boxing IQ. He's got a very high boxing IQ. And you're going to have to be a good boxer to be able to get in there and compete with him. And, you know, I couldn't be more happy for him. I love Jake. I love the family and the entire team. Congratulations to them. They did a hell of a job. And I'm looking forward to the Mike Tyson fight.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, that was the pivot too. Do you feel like, is there part of you that does, like, I'm sure it's like the biggest headline thing ever. There's part of me that's thinking, it's like, man, I love Mike Tyson. I was actually at the one, it was ended up being Vitor Belfort last minute against Evander Holyfield. And Holyfield, he looked like Holyfield, but he wasn't Holyfield. And you just like, at a certain point, age is age. And I do worry about like a man of his age going in there with somebody like Jake, who's literally in the prime of his career. Just as a guy who's been around the sport, what are what were your feelings about it when it first came together?
You know, obviously Mike's a legend and we all hold Mike in the highest regard as one of the main heavyweights of the 80s and the early 90s and just a legend. So obviously a guy like Mike, you never want to see him go in there and get roughed up and banged up. But, you know, Mike's still got a competitive side to him. And Mike is the one, I think, who really wanted the fight. And he searched Jake out and said, hey, I want this fight. I want to make it a real fight, not an exhibition. And I think Jake was kind of, you know, 50-50 about it. He didn't really, you know, it was kind of like a lose-lose, he thought. But I think it's a win because, you know, you're fighting one of the biggest legends over the last 30 years in boxing. Everybody knows Mike Tyson's name. He's a hero. It's a great opportunity for Mike. It's going to be a massive event. You know, would it have been the fight I would have picked for Jake? Probably not. But, I mean, I wasn't in the situation. And, you know, Mike and Jake both want the fight. And it looks like it's going to happen in Texas. And I think a lot of people are pretty excited about seeing what's going to happen because we all have that old memory of what Mike was. And even if it's not even close to that, is Jake good enough still to overcome, you know, a much faded version of Mike? Because we all have all the visions of what Mike did to the Larry Holmes and the Trevor Burbicks and the Buster Douglas and the James Bone Crusher Smiths and all those tough fights where he just, you know, really flatlined those guys. And people are interested.
Oh, listen, people care. Even the people that, you know, the people at my station, they're all like, and obviously they all want Jake to lose. Like I'm telling them, I'm like, I don't think he's going to, but you know, but they're like, but it's Tyson. I'm like, but he's almost 60 and Jake's look good, you know, man. Like, I think that's the thing that I don't know, you know, as somebody who knows him, I'm fascinated by this just because what do you think he wants ultimately as the end game out of all this? Because, you know, fight fans, they give nobody credit for anything. And I don't know what's going to be the thing that he ultimately does to get it. What do you think is the end game for him? Do you think it's just continue to make the most headline worthy fights, or do you feel like he actually wants to continue to have the credentials add up? Because you know people will just continue to poke into it, no matter what it is.
Of course, no. I think he's got two. I think he wants to make big events and big fights, and I think ultimately he wants to be a champion. And he's only got 11 fights now, so his process in my mind is, you know, he's going to work towards becoming a champion. But if there's big fights and big events like this against Mike Perry, against Mike Tyson, I mean, who could he possibly fight in the boxing world that would bring that kind of attention to a fight? It's the crossover, taking someone from a different sport that opens up everybody's imagination as to what could happen, who's better. And that's always been like the big discussion. And when you bring those crossover stars like the Mike Perrys and the MMA guys who people would have never imagined that Jake could beat, you bring those guys over to the boxing ring, the Disney kid all of a sudden is under the gun. He's been proving everybody wrong. And like I said, it's I think the end game for Jake is to make big events and to be a world champion. And I think over the next 2 or 3 years, he's going to have a real shot at being able to do that if he stays on the same path, which I have no doubt.
BJ, for August 10th coming up, James L. Knight Center, you guys get your tickets, Misfits Boxing. For those who haven't been to a Misfits card before, what can people expect? Like, what is the show like that they put on?
It's a lot of energy. It's a top class production. You got it. You know, you got Nisa and Kala Sauerland in there who have been, in boxing since they were, young boys. Their father, legend Wilfred Sauerland, who put on some of the greatest shows in Europe over the last, 35, 40 years. And then you got the Wasserman aspect as well. That entire team, very professional. They make sure everything's taken care of. All the T's are crossed and I's are dotted. And it's just a very professional team. But the event itself is going to be a lot of energy. It's going to be a lot of celebrities. It's going to be a lot of people coming out, a lot of people coming to watch both sides, FaZe's side, Josh Bruckner's side. The undercard is going to be jam-packed. There's going to be a lot of talent on there. You got Chase D'Amore on there. He's fighting, Nick Paddywagon. That's going to be a decent fight. Chase has made some noise lately. There's a couple other really big names on the card, and it's going to be exciting. A lot of good talent. Another leg of the 135-pound Misfits tournament that will be on for the I forget what the actual fight is, but they're looking for the 135-pound fight is the first round of the tournament coming up, and then Josh's fight with FaZe, that's the first round of the Cruiserweight tournament. So a lot on the line, and both guys got to show up if they want to move on in advance.
We appreciate the time, BJ. Thanks so much. Looking forward to the show coming up August 10th. Guys, get your tickets now. I've been giving away. The fans have been going crazy for it. And we appreciate you giving us some time. Really appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you so much. And I'll see everybody in Miami. Thanks again.
Take care.
You searched Jake out and said, hey, I want this fight. I want to make it a real fight, not an exhibition. And I think Jake was kind of, 50-50 about it. He didn't really, it was kind of like a lose-lose, he thought. But I think it's a win because, you're fighting one of the biggest legends over the last 30 years in boxing. Everybody knows Mike Tyson's name. He's a hero. It's a great opportunity for Mike. It's going to be a massive event. Would it have been the fight I would have picked for Jake? Probably not. But, I wasn't in the situation. And, Mike and Jake both want the fight. And it looks like it's going to happen in Texas. And I think a lot of people are pretty excited about seeing what's going to happen because we all have that old memory of what Mike was. And even if it's not even close to that, is Jake good enough still to overcome, a much faded version of Mike? Because we all have all the visions of what Mike did to the Larry Holmes and the Trevor Burbicks and the Buster Douglases and the James Bone Crusher Smiths and all those tough fights where he just, really flatlined those guys. And people are interested.
Oh, people care. Even the people at the people at my station, they're all like, and obviously they all want Jake to lose. Like I'm telling them, I'm like, I don't think he's going to, but they're like, but it's Tyson. I'm like, but he's almost 60. And Jake's looked good, man. Like, I think that's the thing that I don't know, as somebody who knows him, I'm fascinated by this just because what do you think he wants ultimately as the end game out of all this? Because, fight fans, they give nobody credit for anything. And I don't know what's going to be the thing that he ultimately does to get it. What do you think is the end game for him? Do you think it's just continue to make the most headline worthy fights, or do you feel like he actually wants to continue to have the credentials add up? Because people will just continue to poke into it, no matter what it is.
Of course, no. I think he's got two. I think he wants to make big events and big fights, and I think ultimately he wants to be a champion. And he's only got 11 fights now, so his process in my mind is, he's going to work towards becoming a champion. But if there's big fights and big events like this against Mike Perry, against Mike Tyson, who could he possibly fight in the boxing world that would bring that kind of attention to a fight? It's the crossover, taking someone from a different sport that opens up everybody's imagination as to what could happen, who's better. And that's always been like the big discussion. And when you bring those crossover stars like the Mike Perrys and the MMA guys who people would have never imagined that Jake could beat, you bring those guys over to the boxing ring, the Disney kid all of a sudden is under the gun. But he's been proving everybody wrong. And like I said, it's I think the end game for Jake is to make big events and to be a world champion. And I think over the next 2 or 3 years, he's going to have a real shot at being able to do that if he stays on the same path, which I have no doubt.
BJ, for August 10th coming up, James L. Knight Center, you guys get your tickets, Misfits Boxing. For those who haven't been to a Misfits card before, what can people expect? Like, what is the show like that they put on?
It's a lot of energy. It's a top-class production. You got you got Nisa and Kala Sauerland in there who have been, in boxing since they were, young boys. Their father, legend Wilfred Sauerland, who put on some of the greatest shows in Europe over the last, 35, 40 years. And then you got the Wasserman aspect as well. That entire team, very professional. They make sure everything's taken care of. All the T's are crossed and I's are dotted. And it's just a very professional team. But the event itself is going to be a lot of energy. It's going to be a lot of celebrities. It's going to be a lot of people coming out, a lot of people coming to watch both sides, FaZe's side, Josh Bruckner's side. The undercard is going to be jam-packed. There's going to be a lot of talent on there. You got Chase D'Amore on there. He's fighting, I think, Nick Paddywagon. That's going to be a decent fight. Chase has made some noise lately. There's a couple other really big names on the card, and it's going to be exciting. A lot of good talent. Another leg of the 135-pound Misfits tournament that will be on for the I forget what the actual fight is, but they're looking for the 135-pound fight is the first round of the tournament coming up, and then Josh's fight with FaZe, that's the first round of the cruiserweight tournament. So a lot on the line, and you know, both guys got to show up if they want to move on in advance.
We appreciate the time, BJ. Thanks so much. Looking forward to the show coming up August 10th. Guys, get your tickets now. I've been giving away. The fans have been going crazy for it. And we appreciate you giving us some time. Really appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you so much. And I'll see everybody in Miami. Thanks again.
Take care.